isn't so much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
The government and parents everywhere, they tried to ban it.
This is the George Plaster Show.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Bart Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome into the show on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. We've got a big story that we're headed to Memphis on in about 90 seconds. Let me quickly say hello to Watson Brown, who joins us from the plateau. Watson, how are you?
George, I'm doing great. Doing great. You doing okay?
Yeah. I know we got a lot to talk about. So yeah. let me right off the bat read this story, get an initial response from you, Watson, and then we'll head down to Memphis. The University of let me start it this way. Memphis has declared James Wiseman ineligible, that's the University of Memphis, and will withhold him from games after the freshman basketball star withdrew his lawsuit against the NCAA this morning. The school also announced that it would apply for his reinstatement by the NCAA. And here is a quote that says, "In order to move the matter forward, the university has declared James ineligible and will immediately apply for his reinstatement." This according to a University of Memphis statement. "Pending that notification, James will be withheld from competition but will continue to practice with the team. The NCAA is fully aware of the unique nature and challenges in this particular case, and the university is confident that the NCAA will render a fair and equitable decision consistent with his mission." Oh, don't hold your breath on that one. But Wiseman's lawyers from Ballin, Ballin, and Fishman released a statement Thursday morning that says, quote, "It has become clear to Mr. Wiseman, formerly known as James, that the lawsuit he filed last week has become an impediment to the University of Memphis in its efforts to reach a fair and equitable resolution with the NCAA concerning his eligibility status. Therefore, Mr. Wiseman advised his legal team that he wished to withdraw his lawsuit. There will be no further comment at this time." Well, not totally, because we are headed to Memphis. One of my best buddies down there, a former Memphis State basketballer, John Albright, is on the line with us. John, thank you for taking the time.
Certainly, George.
So let's read between the lines. How did this go down?
Well, I had a conversation last night with somebody that was very familiar with the proceedings about 9:30 that basically said there may be some changes. Stay close to what's going on. I think reading between the lines, I believe that both parties, both the university as well as the NCAA and James Wiseman, figured out some kind of resolution was probably in everybody's best interest. My guess is, and again, the most important component of this whole thing has not yet been brought forth, and that is, what are the punishment, what are the sanctions, how quickly is all this going to be resolved? But I believe there's some kind of pending settlement that all sides can live with. That's my guess.
John, I believe I'm right that you and I agree that had this gone on much longer, the NCAA was going to show Memphis a level of muscle that was going to result in kind of an Armageddon.
George, absolutely. Again, it's akin to opening Pandora's box. And again, you don't open Pandora's box without some kind of manageable solution if you're the NCAA. You can just understand the ramifications very quickly if all of a sudden everybody gets to pay whoever they want. I think there's probably some a little more well-heeled boosters down in Texas that could have come up with some big money. And you see how that could really work. And next thing you know, we've got the Wild Wild West, and the NCAA, as we know it, is probably obsolete and maybe on its way out. So you're absolutely right. The difficulty when you basically snub the NCAA in this matter, Memphis being the first university, and James Wiseman basically to not go along with being ruled ineligible, continuing to play in defiance, of that. I think absolutely the might and the weight and the financial resources of the NCAA were all going to be in play. And you have to also remember that in Memphis's past, this is a repeat offender situation. So as they say in the poker table, all the chips were on the table, everything. There was nothing in reserve. So I'm hopeful that there will be an equitable solution where whatever the penalty is, Memphis will have an opportunity to still earn a way into the NCAA tournament. And most importantly, James Wiseman will be reinstated at some point to play. We'll see. That's what the assumption is. Of course, the NCAA, you never know.
No, you do never know, which is not necessarily the beauty of the NCAA. John, is it almost a foregone conclusion that Memphis will be forced to forfeit the wins that they have had with James Wiseman?
George, I don't see any other way around it, because you if you don't do something along that line, the precedent, a dangerous precedent, is sent for the next group that's coming along, and so forth and so on. And just what we just got through talking about, I think the NCAA does want to establish, the rules and upholding the rules and the regulations. Again, whether they're archaic, when they're outdated, doesn't necessarily mean you can just all of a sudden set them aside. Are there changes coming? Yes. How quickly and what those changes will be, who knows? But yes, I absolutely got to believe that's the case.
Former Memphis State basketball star. You like that part, star?
Yeah, I've never heard that in connection with my name, so I like
right.
that
okay.
a whole lot better than the actual play.
Nice. John Albright is with us from Memphis. John, this may be one that you have to say, George, I don't know the answer, but last Friday, as all of this was going down, and Wiseman decides to file the suit against the NCAA and, I guess, to some level, the University of Memphis, did the university know this was going down?
George, I don't know. My understanding, and again, I'm not firsthand information. I believe there was some discussion probably in the spring, late spring, obviously into the summer, about getting something resolved. And that did not take place. And, of course, everybody always is asking the question, well, why was the University of Memphis being sued? Why were they a party, to this? And the problem, of course, was that the NCAA initially ruled him eligible. Memphis said he was eligible to play, and then they later, came back on that. And I got to believe absolutely there was some hopeful resolution, long before this, came to where we are today, but for whatever reason, it didn't happen at the time.
Watson, he's your witness. Refer to him as former star John Albright.
Former star John Albright. I like that, John.
The problem with that tape would tell you a whole different story, so you just tell it like you need to. I'm with you on this one.
All you need to do, big boy, is just get rid of those tapes, and then you can be just as good as you want to be.
Thank goodness there's no social media back in the day.
You got it. We couldn't live today, could we, buddy? I'm telling you.
Sir, I couldn't. I have enough challenges with technology as it is. I don't want anybody that's not an expert all of a sudden weighing in on how bad I was.
You got a good point. John, the way I understand it through all my years is what the NC2A does to you, and I'm going to bet you that's what happened here. They tell the university, we will not deal with this when there is something in court against us. We will not even deal with it. And I'm going to bet you that's exactly what happened. And then Memphis had to convince, or the kid had to be told all this, and then drop the suit before the NC2A will deal with it. And I'm going to bet you that's where it is right now.
Well, I think you're right, but I also think that the public pressure, as well as congressional pressure and the sentiment with the public, again, it doesn't mean the public's right. I want to make sure that the rules are the rules, and nobody can argue that the rules were broken. Those are facts. Now, again, whether you agree with the rules or not, that's a whole other subject.
Yeah.
Altogether. I think you're absolutely right, Coach. But I also think there's got to have been some discussion because Leslie Ballin and Steve Parise are the two top defense attorneys in this area, and Leslie Ballin is very well versed in what needs to be done. And there's a lot of tremendous sentiment now. You know, sentiment and results are two different things, but I think you're right. The NCAA says, until you do this and this, we're not going to have any discussion. Of course, time is ticking. You know, the time is ticking, and this is a very, very dangerous situation in my mind for the University of Memphis athletic program in the event they were unsuccessful. And then obviously you can speculate on whatever was to come if they were unsuccessful, you know, in prevailing. Real calamity, you know, on the horizon down the road, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is. And the only thing you got to go by right now is the kid at Ohio State, Young.
Yes, sir.
That they held him, and then they dealt with it pretty quickly and only set out two games.
Well, that
one was a loan. Now, the difference might have been, John, in that one, they said this was a family friend. I never read it as a booster like the Penny one is. And that might be the only difference that could get Memphis and the kid a little bit. I don't think he
played in defiance while they were going through that either. I think they sat him out, didn't they? I may be wrong on that. I think that's the other key component. Instead of
that
saying,
is,
no, we just agree, we're going to play until we get it resolved. I think that Ohio State said we're going to sit him out, and then they got it resolved quickly. And, of course, that's one of always the complaints is the due process. You know, how long does it take for you to get to a resolution? Look at the University of North Carolina. And years and years, how long it took for them to finally resolve that was an institutional problem. And that's always the complaint. It's not like the judicial system. There's not a transparent and straightforward process. And some of the unequitable and in many of people's opinions, you know, rulings cause problem. But I do think the NCAA is moving forward. Now, how fast and far enough, that's subject to debate. But I think public sentiment very, very strong on this one. And like I said, I'm hopeful that there is a resolution that allows James Wiseman to play again and the university to have an opportunity to participate in the NCAA tournament. I could be very wrong, but I think most people here are expecting something that gives them the opportunity on both those fronts.
Well, let's hope so, because when I looked at it, John, and Lord, I've seen so many of these things, and when I saw it, if what I read is true, if to Memphis and play at East from Ensworth and help get him alone or whatever, there's no way Memphis had any – I mean, Penny wasn't thinking about Memphis when all that went down, in my opinion.
He's trying to get him
to come and play basketball for him at East, and he had him as an AAU player if I read everything right.
That's right.
If that's all there is to it, I think they may hold him longer – than they did the kid at Ohio State, but they would reinstate him. But that's if that's all that's there.
Well, that's right. Late Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story, I hope there's nothing else, don't know of anything.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think the fact that Memphis decided to play him, get the temporary injunction, I think probably you're looking at a longer period where he can't play, and probably the forfeiture of some games would be my guess for that very reason, to discourage – you know, future universities, players, what have you, from taking the same route.
Yeah. Well, that's what I hope for everybody's sake. I hate to see this young man not get to play. I hate to see Memphis in trouble. I don't know that anybody wins in these deals. But I'm still I'm a little more skeptical, John. I just the NCAA scares me now. They'll say, hey, you do this, and we're going to work with you, and we'll really work with you if you'll drop this suit. And then all of a sudden, sometimes you get hit right between the eyes. So
that's right. Well, anytime you need a full-time compliance director to interpret and explain the rules, you know they're cumbersome and difficult to understand.
You got it. You're right on, buddy.
So, John, let me end it like this. Whatever goes down as far as punishment, what does this do to Penny Hardaway? And I guess here's what I'm thinking. From here on in, the NCAA is going to watch him like a hawk.
Yeah, I think there's probably been a lot of that now. Anytime you have anytime you have a meteoric rise in recruiting success on a national level and it gets outside of your traditional recruiting circles, that always raises eyebrows. Now, I'll also say quickly, that Mike Miller and Penny Hardaway, because of their NBA backgrounds and success, they basically can get into anybody's living room they want to have an initial conversation. So they do have something very, very unique and difficult. But James Wiseman, obviously there's a prior, relationship. When you start attracting kids from California and New York and all that to Memphis, which historically that has not been the traditional recruiting basis, for Memphis, it always raises eyebrows. When you have the number one recruiting class in the nation, obviously Wiseman being the number one recruit is going to catapult that. It's also going to do that. And obviously the way that Penny came to be a head coach, old school, that's going to rub a lot of people, the wrong way, and scrutiny and discussion. So, yes, George, I think you're absolutely right. You got to be squeaky clean and make sure you're doing everything, by the book, crossing the T's and dotting the I's, or, the next round will not be as fun. But, Penny, for his part, he's been very consistent. I mean, I hadn't said a whole lot about it, but he's been very consistent, said we're going to have his back the whole way. And you think about it, even the president of the university, he's got a tremendous amount of risk going forward with this. And Dr. Rudd did that. That's very unusual for somebody on the academic side that represents the entire university. So, around here, most people are very, very happy and defiant. Again, that doesn't mean you're going to be successful. Sometimes, the popular opinion is not the correct and the right opinion. So it will be interesting to see how things play out, particularly how quickly whatever the results, the penalties, what have you, are going to be, how quickly, the sooner they come out and you understand what you're dealing with, it can move forward. I think it's critical. I don't think it'll take a long time, given what has happened so quickly last night and today.
John, really appreciate you taking the time on short notice to come on here.
That's absolutely all right, George. Thank you for all that you and Coach do for informing the greater Nashville area of what's going on in the world of sports.
Right, and thanks, introducing John. You as former Memphis State star, John Albright.
Well, that's concerning. We're going to have to really look into your mental capacities at this stage of the proceedings.
No, it's not worth it, John. It's not worth it to look into that.
Fair enough, Coach. Fair enough.
You're not the first.
That's right.
John, thank you.
Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, John.
Okay, Watson, let's do this. Why don't we sort of regroup during the commercial break? You and I will toss out some opinions, and we'll invite a few phone calls on this in the next segment. If you've got an opinion on this whole Memphis thing, let's hear it now. 844-5600 is our number, and if you'll call now, we'll get to you pretty quickly. From the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, you're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. My buddy James Warren is with me in studio, class of 1977, Battleground Academy, and owner of Sir Speedy with a new name. It's now Sir Speedy Music City. So I know you've changed the name, but the service continues to be terrific.
We are still the same people, George. Nothing's changed except for our name. And we changed from Sir Speedy of Berry Hill to Music City just to show that we're a bigger part of the city that we're in and we love. We cover the full Southeast, but we focus on everything Music City, and that's for who we are.
A lot of people have heard this ad over the last few weeks. I want you to give people your website, your phone number, all the particulars they need to know.
Sounds good. And I do want to give a shout out to Donut Distillery, who heard us on this show and is giving us some business.
Nice.
You can always reach us at 615-832-9511. Our website is SirSpeedyMusicCity.com, and you can email us at print@SirSpeedyMusicCity.com, and we've got you covered.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Lane.
Whether having heating concerns during the cold winter months or looking to cool off those hot summer days, nobody in Middle Tennessee is better equipped to serve your needs than Lanham's AC Service, your local Rude Pro partner. From heating and cooling issues to water heaters, you can count on Lanham's AC Service and Rude HVAC equipment with a system that fits your unique needs while doing it right the first time. Serving the area for over 30 years, owner Brian Eskew and his team are dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business while providing reliable and honest service for Nashville and Middle Tennessee. And they do it with the name brands like Rude you have come to trust. I should know, I have a new Rude in my house and have been a customer for almost a decade. And remember, financing is available and they service and repair all brands. So call today to schedule a service or maintenance call, 615-969-9065, that's 969-9065, or go to lanhamsacservice.com.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Redneck Nation Radio is on Nashville Sports Radio. Catch one of the longest running radio shows devoted to the Nashville Predators.
I'm Kyle Turris of Nashville Predators.
I'm Colton Sissons of the Nashville Predators.
Every game day morning at 5 with Crazy Charlie Saunier.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Nashville Sports Radio and Redneck Nation, a match made in hockey.
.225 as we welcome all of you back on a Thursday afternoon. By the way, if you're wondering about Terry McCormick, he will join us for Underdog Picks at 3. Until then, yours truly and Watson Brown from the Plateau. Watson, back on the Memphis story. I just don't see where Wiseman, Memphis, however you want to lump it, they didn't have any choice.
No. I'm telling you, because I've seen these things before, I think the NC2A made a power play at them. That would be my bet, George. They said, look, we're not dealing with this with an injunction against us. We're not doing it. We'll just let it sit. And the longer you do this, you could pay in the end. That – I don't know that. I'm just saying I've seen this before. And the only thing that makes you wonder, if you drop the injunction after however many games it's been, why would you have played him in the first place if you decide to do that? And I would think Memphis is very aware of everything that James Wiseman's lawyers are doing. I would think that. Very, very aware of all of that. And the thing that's hard about these things, George, to me, is you want to do things right, but you want to be very fair to the kid. And that's a hard call. You know, the kid, his family, everybody is so upset, we want to play, blah, blah, blah. That's where these decisions are a lot tougher than people realize, in my opinion. And I guess I'm defending Memphis here a little bit in what they did in going ahead and playing him. But I'm not as strong as John in that there's going to be a resolution and it's going to be a good resolution. I'm not as strong with that. This still may take a while.
Let me ask you this. Why would it take a good while? Because we saw very swift action in the Ohio State deal.
The difference I see is that there was never any declaration of a booster paid the kid at Ohio State. It always came out a family friend gave him the loan. And this one has had booster since the day I read it. And that can make it now want to look into it longer, further. And I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying what I see, and I hope I'm I'm being overly cautious here, but I just know the NC2A, and it doesn't mean when they say to you, now, if this injunction gets stopped, we'll work with you and we can get this thing settled pretty quick. That doesn't mean that always happens. I'm not saying they're lying. They just there's other things they may have to look into before they're going to settle it.
I want to put out what is going to be a very cynical perception of where all this is right now. And you tell me where you agree and disagree. It has become almost an art form in the general public these days to really rip the NCAA. They're catching it like they have never caught it in the past. And in my opinion, that is a little bit of the reason that in the California Fair Play Act, that all of a sudden they're acting like they're now, you know, open-minded and we're willing to discuss things that in the past they acted like, you know, the Kremlin on these kind of matters. So these are times they're not enjoying where they're getting it crammed down their throat. And it seems to me like what I believe was going to happen was that they were going to say to the University of Memphis, if you think for 1 minute we're putting up with your crap, you got another thing coming.
I agree with everything you said up to that last part, and I'm not sure about that. But I agree, their backs are kind of against the wall with all the things that are going down, and they have come across for years as Gestapo type, if you want
Gestapo,
to say that.
Gestapo, good word.
They've come across as not caring, it looks like, to the fan and to these different communities that they're dealing with when they do these things, that they just don't care. And one thing I saw, George, here in recent times is the way they've eased up on these transfer rules. That's a major switch in an NC2A way. So I think honestly, you're dead on. I think they're hunting ways to try to improve their image. But I also know in years past, the way when somebody takes them on, man, that don't go over well. It just does not. And I don't think Leopard loses his spots too quickly with that type of thing. So I think that they've won out to this point because the suit got dropped, the injunction got dropped, and now it's back in their hands again. I really hope this thing is settled just like the Ohio State one, and it's quick. There's games that they hold them out, and then they let them play again. And the only thing different in this one is that Memphis let him play when Ohio State didn't, George. There might be a penalty from that, but you would think the penalty from that would be just how many games did he play? One? How many? It's more than one, wasn't it? When did they get the NC2A throw up the red flag to him? Has it been two games?
Yeah. No.
Two games?
Yeah, last Friday night and then the Oregon game.
So it's two games they could lose, and they won one of those, right?
Yeah.
They won one, and they lost to Oregon anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think the punishment for playing him would be he's ineligible, because I can remember the school I was at, we had a kid that we thought was called academically ineligible. And it was a situation where our university had advised the kid to do this, and it ended up not being – he wasn't advised proper. He did flunk another class that if he had passed that, it wouldn't have. Anyway, I've been through this, and we held him, and we held him, and we held him, and we held him, and finally he got to play a few games. So this isn't an etched-in-stone thing. I know John was talking about what he hopes will happen, but I'm one to say I'm not just sure it will. I hope it is. I hope it's a couple of games more now and let him sit out and let the kid play. But, George, we don't know if there's not more to it, too, now. That's the other piece.
Right.
Is do they have something else even when he was recruited to come to Memphis? Only thing we've heard about was the loan while the kid was in high school transferring from Ensworth to East. We don't know if there's been more since he got officially heavily recruited by Penny and Memphis. So who knows? This thing could just be starting, not getting ready to be over.
You know, I looked up while you were talking, Watson, a case involving the NCAA and TCU from years ago. Jim Wacker, as you'll remember,
was at Rice when he was there.
Right. And they self-reported. And the gist of it was that Wacker came out and said, well, what the hell good did that do us to self-report? They screwed us over. His quote officially here, I think we just set back self-disclosure. I think we missed the opportunity to advance self-disclosure. They have over the years been very vindictive. And
that's been the image, George. You're dead on. That has been the image many more times than not being the image. And but I think you hit it really good. The NC2A has kind of got their backs against the wall with this, you know, start paying the kids and all of the things. And I think it even started before that, though, when they really eased up these transfer rules, making kids eligible over. Just it didn't take much at all to appeal and get to play the next year when you transferred. I've seen an ease up in the NC2A. Let's hope it keeps coming. Nobody wants to see a great player not get to play. And I don't want to see Memphis in a lot of trouble either. I've been through this. I was in the Southwest Conference when it went down. I was there. Watched the whole thing. George, nobody won in that deal. Nobody. And I hope it doesn't get to that.
Well, first of all, John made mention of the fact that Memphis has had issues over the years. As I was going down there to be their announcer, they had just gotten through the Dana Kirk era. And for those of you who are a little younger, look up Dana Kirk and look up all the mess in the mid-80s. It had the reputation of being one of the real rogue schools, you know, UNLV at the top. Everybody else may be on level two, but certainly Memphis at the very top of level two of cheating and, you know, all of this stuff. And understand that in that city, basketball is the big deal. Yeah, right now, football, this is nice, and this is terrific for them that they have had this moment, but football is their cat. Basketball is their cat daddy.
Oh, George, absolutely. For many years back. And Memphis is such a great basketball town, too. High school basketball town. And you're dead on there now. This has been the bell cow at Memphis forever, and it will. I don't know that it ever won't be the bell cow.
So that's a little bit of where it is. After the break, former Predator Dan Kesmer will join us. The Preds have got a scenario that doesn't happen very often where following this long road trip, they've got about 3 days in between games where they can either choose to do a lot of resting, do some practicing, whatever. Their next game is Saturday night at home against the Blackhawks. We will talk with Dan next. You're listening to WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary valet parking is always available.
It may not require a textbook, but it's filled with valuable lessons. It may not take place in a classroom, but it's an ideal environment for learning. It may not involve a diploma, but it can help prepare Tennessee's young people for life. It's high school sports. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students that participate in high school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think again. Better yet, think about attending a high school sporting event in your community. You'll be amazed by what you see. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-649-4584 or go online, lynchtreeserve@aol.com.
Let's observe the inflatable noodle man. His constant undulating entices people to look at me, he's tireless and brainless, a literal airhead. Curiously, however, the inflatable noodle man, when hearing that Geico not only saves people money, but also has an award-winning app that makes it easy to manage one's policy, he knows you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Just ask an inflatable noodle man. Carefully, they are unpredictable creatures.
Well, the Predators have just concluded their CMA road trip, which is, I'm guessing without looking, their longest road trip of the year, about a week and a half. It started out great. They went to Detroit and won 6-1, but the last three did not go so well. And with that as a little bit of a backdrop, we welcome Dan Kesmer, former Predator, to our microphones. Dan, hope you're well.
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me back, George.
Absolutely. Got any tickets to the Big House for, let's say, I don't know, the Ohio State game?
That is. I'm going to be up in Michigan for the Thanksgiving holidays and going to go watch U of M hopefully pound up on the Ohio State Buckeyes. That's wishful thinking.
You dog you. You know what, though? Michigan's playing a lot better football. I'm not saying it couldn't happen.
Hey, you know what, George? If Minnesota can, you know, pummel Penn State like nobody expected, you know, anything's possible in college football.
Well, I'm jealous. That'll be a terrific environment. So, Dan, let's talk about the Preds. These last three games on the road trip were not good. Should we be concerned? Are you concerned?
You know, looking at the standings, they're just teetering on a playoff spot right now. They're tied with Calgary and Winnipeg and with Vegas, all formidable teams that I would expect to be in the hunt, you know, come March and April.
Right.
You know, even though, you know, a lot of people can look at it saying, you know, we're 20 games into the season, 18 to be exact. There's a lot of hockey to be played. It is imperative and very important to get as many wins as you can in the beginning, because with the structure of the NHL today, with, you know, overtime, you know, the losing team getting a point, it's very difficult once you're out of that playoff spot to play catch up. So I would be cautiously concerned to say, you know, this homestead that we're going to be on here coming up is, you know, very important. Every game's important, but, you know, especially at home, which they're faring better than they are on the road. They're 6-2-2 at home.
you know, if they can continue that and get some momentum, I think it would be, you know, definitely in their favor.
Dan, when they got home from Vancouver, they get the luxury of a few days off. Does a coaching staff go into sort of, okay, we got to do some practicing because we seldom get that opportunity, or is rest more what they do?
Well, the first couple of days, for sure, you're going to rest because you're in different time zones and you've got jet lag, and you'll let the guys catch up with their family. But you're definitely going to have to put some attention to detail and facets of the game that need it, which are, you know, in my opinion, first and foremost, going to be the defensive side of the puck. We are in the top 12 teams right now in the Western Conference. There's only one other team that's allowed more goals than us, and that's Calgary. Typically, the Preds have been built as a defensive-minded team, you know, including the goaltender, which when you're second in that top 12 in most goals scored against, that is definitely something you have to clean up moving forward, because typically we haven't been the most powerful offensive-minded team to score the goals, which right now, you know, we are. But, you know, defense and goaltending and special teams win championships. So that is definitely something I believe that the coaching staff is going to be taking a serious look at before, you know, Saturday's game. How are we going to clean that up? And then you also have to figure out the continuity amongst the top two lines, which if you've watched the last three games like I have, it's been a free-for-all. You know, you've had multiple line combinations in and out of those top two lines, which eventually you're going to have to figure out who's going to fit with who to move forward, because that only helps, you know, line mates get a feel for each other. You have a sixth sense where everybody's going to be. But it's been a constant shuffle, you know, especially on this road trip.
Let's go to the defense for a second, because you're right. That's where they have sprung some leaks. The personnel defensively is pretty similar to what it has been in recent years. Is it that there's less emphasis on it? What do you think?
You know, they came out of the gates the first couple games with this new offense that we've got, which is very powerful. And I think you could get lost in the importance of, you know, the defensive side of the game when you're scoring so many goals. And, you know, you had Josi playing like his hair was on fire every shift, you know, for multiple reasons. He was, you know, looking for that new contract, which he's received. And then you've got Ekholm and Ellis, who are, you know, putting up the points. And, you know, those are nice. But when you're a defenseman, your job first has to be keeping the puck out of your own net. And, you know, typically it's been that way. And it's not something that can't be corrected, because you're right. They do have the personnel in place to, you know, get that back to where it needs to be. But for some unknown reason, it's been it's almost been a 80s picturesque type of Edmonton Oilers, where you had Paul Coffey and the, you know, fourth forward out there, which were, you know, defensemen. So I don't know exactly why, but I do know that it can be corrected.
Watson, did I hear you say recently that your first college football game was at Michigan?
Absolutely was. I returned the opening kickoff, and it was Bo Schembechler, Dan's first. It was Bo Schembechler's first game as the coach at Michigan, and
wow.
The ball is coming in the air to me, and I'm a first time player, sophomore. You couldn't play as a freshman in those days. And it hits the ground, rolls around. Doug Matthews, I think, finally falls on it, recovers it. I was so dang nervous that I didn't even catch the ball. So, I mean, oh, man. It was, and there was a guy named Cecil Pryor. Do y'all remember that name?
Uh-uh.
He was a defensive end, played with the Packers, I think, forever. I got loose on a scramble, and, of course, I wasn't used to getting caught. And I got loose on a scramble and started around a corner, and he ran me down about as fast as you could run anybody down. And he said, hey, rookie, don't you know you can't outrun us guys? And I wanted to say yes, sir, to him. You know? he's a He's about 6'5", about 270, and he flies and pulls me on the ground, and then he says, "Hey, rookie."
Wow.
So we got beat pretty good in the game, but that was a neat memory that I'll never forget. And, of course, the place is a lot bigger now than it was then.
What was it then?
I'm guessing 80s.
Wow.
And
this is 1969.
That would have been 69.
Wow.
I'm guessing 80s at that point.
I grew up watching the Bo Schembechler, Woody Hayes coaching duel between Ohio State and Michigan. And, you know, I've forever been a Wolverine fan since.
Oh, it's unbelievable. If you've never been there, it's hard to make people understand. When you see that stadium on TV, it's a little misleading because it's not a steep one. It goes back, as you well know, and it's deep. It is so deep that's what you can't see. I mean, it's just you stand out on the field, and it's just bodies everywhere. It was the first huge stadium that I was in, and it was a great memory, even though we got beat, but that is a true story. I let the opening kickoff that I ever played in hit the ground, and my roommate Doug Matthews, I think, is the one that recovered the ball. And to say my coach's name was Bill Pace, and to say the least, Coach Pace was not thrilled with me when I got to the sideline. So I didn't get off to a great start as a Vanderbilt Commodore. I got a couple of quick things. Is it harder in hockey? I know in football, the offense is the slower one to come along at the start of a season. Is it that way in hockey? Is it defense, or is there either one? Talk to me about that a little bit.
I don't think it's specific in hockey. You know, you've got guys that are, you know, playing the game since they were 4 years old on both ends. And a lot of times it depends. It's kind of like in football. If you're playing with the New England Patriots or back with the Green Bay Packers, and you've got Brady or, you know, you've got Brett Favre, it's a highly offensive, dynamic type of team. So is it the personnel that is, you know, out of the gates quicker on the offensive side, and you don't have the personnel necessarily on the defensive side? That, more times than not, is the situation. And just like in hockey, you may have a high-octane, offensive-minded team where it's just not that good defensively because of the personnel that they've got, you know, in the lineup. So I think that we're blessed here in Nashville where you do have, especially now, you've got, you know, some highly octane, offensive-minded forwards with, you know, the likes of Forsberg and Arvidsson and now Duchesne and Johansson. And then you've also got the back end, you know, with a proven track record of the likes of Ellis and Ekholm and, you know, everybody back there, you know, Yossi, and then Pekka Rinne has been out of the, you know, gates quickly with some phenomenal play. It's teetered off a little bit as of late. But, I think the answer to your question is it's not necessarily like football where you may have, you know, the offense coming out of the gates to start the season slow or the defense. I think it's dependent upon the personnel that you've got on the individual team.
Yeah. And last thing, George, I'd have for my a neat thing that I saw, that we were invited to this global series to where I think it's four teams that get to go, and some of our guys, this is in 2020, and some of our guys are getting to go back to where they grew up and played. And but to me, guys, that's a pretty neat deal. That's telling me the Preds are coming way up the ladder here, and we're getting recognized a lot more and one of the more elite teams in the league. Am I wrong in saying that? Is that not a pretty good honor to get to do that?
No, I think you're 100% correct, Watson, and I think it all started, you know, a few years ago when we hosted the All-Star game. You know, that, I believe, really put Nashville on the map. You know, you had the All-Star game, you had the – you know, finals of the Stanley Cup against Pittsburgh. We've now got this year an outdoor game. Then you've got the global series. And I don't know exactly where we're going, but I think that we're going to Switzerland for one of the games. Do you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Ryan Ellis. Isn't that where Ryan Ellis is from, Prague?
Yeah. Yossi, I think, played at Bern. Maybe one of the other guys. What I saw was a lot of our guys are getting to go back to places that they grew up and played, and I think that's really neat.
Yeah, so I think that you're right, Watson, that you know it's a step in the direction of respect for the Nashville Predators as an organization, that you know, not only based upon their play on the ice, but the notoriety of Nashville as a city to support a team the way that we have and the city has, you know, over the years, really started to get the attention of the hockey world back a few years ago when the All-Star game was here.
Hey, Dan, let me leave you with one last thing. It's based on something you brought up earlier about the juggling of the front two lines. If I made you the coach right now, who would be on those first two lines?
Well, I would come out of retirement and pay myself a pretty hefty salary to begin with.
I'm all for it.
That would be one. You know, I really like the way that we started the season out, George, was with they had Duchesne and Forsberg, and I can't remember exactly who did they have on the other wing on that line with Forsberg, and was it Granlund that started out the season with Forsberg and Duchesne, I believe?
I'm getting the signal that it was Granlund.
Yep, and then you had Johansson and Arvidsson, and I think that they had Turris on that line, but it was short-lived. You had Turris, you had Yarncroke, and you had Smith, I think, interchanging. I would go with Yarncroke, Johansson, and Arvidsson, and then go with the other three with Forsberg and Duchesne and Granlund. I like the way that they started the season out. Obviously, the coaching staff and management have seen it in, you know, other ways. You did have a couple injuries there. Duchesne missed a game. Forsberg missed a few. I think whoever you put up there can be, you know, suitable and dynamic and exciting to watch. But I think that whoever you do choose, you got to give it a little bit of time so that the guys can gel together. It's like defensive partners. You know, it takes time to
sure does.
Have a
comfort
level with the people that you're out there playing with. And just because you've got really good individual play from, you know, one person or three people doesn't mean that they're going to be a good line together. So I think that you'll probably see some change-ups in the practice this week to have them get a handle on exactly who that's going to be. But once they decide it, hopefully they can stick and have success and continue on for, you know, many games in the foreseeable future.
Well said. Appreciate it. I'm jealous you're getting to go back to the big house. Send me some pictures that day.
I will. Hopefully it'll be a little more better weather this time than it was against Notre Dame.
Oh, God. Yeah, no kidding. Hey, thanks for doing this.
Okay, guys. Have a good day.
Dan Kesmer, former Pred, knows his stuff, joins us on a weekly basis. Watson, I looked because I've tried during this three-game losing streak not to pay attention to the standings. But he's absolutely right because St. Louis now has 28 points. They've played one more game than the Preds. Colorado and the Preds have both played the same number, 18 games. Colorado has 24 points. Nashville has 21, and they're in the 2-3 hole, meaning if the season ended today, Colorado would have home ice against the Preds. But then you've got Winnipeg, you know, right down your throat. Suddenly Dallas is right there. Vegas is right there. They got to start doing some winning. And
the division is tough.
Oh,
I'm telling you, if you don't, we're good, but we got to play good.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't be good. We got to play good or we'll get left behind fast. How long, to me, this homestand coming up is huge to get back. How many games do we get before we hit the road again? Can Jay look that up?
No, I've got it right here, and I was about to go to it. Five of their next six are at home.
Yeah,
Saturday night
right now.
Yeah, Saturday night against the Blackhawks. next Tuesday night against Winnipeg. Memo, we don't like Winnipeg. Thursday, a week from tonight, at home against Vancouver. Then a week from Saturday, they go to St. Louis. Then two home games. Monday night, the 25th, against St. Louis here. And then Wednesday night, the day before Thanksgiving, Vegas is in town. So that is, I'm with you, that's a big six-game stretch that you'd like to see them win four out of six or five out of six.
100% agree. I think we need to. We got to get a mindset here and go after it because we're plenty good enough. We just got to be good because these other teams are plenty good enough too. I'm telling you now, I'm impressed with who we have to go through to even get to the playoffs, guys. I mean, gracious sakes, there's some good teams out there.
Absolutely. So, Watson, do you know what's coming?
I do.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have to listen to you for just a little bit, so I'm not really looking forward to that.
Right.
Just going to have to just suck it up and listen. It doesn't happen very often.
So no, it's, no. It's
not used to it, to yeah. say the least.
Well, get used to it. Get used to it.
Oh, one game, and now we get cocky. Okay.
Daddy's home.
He's batting 200, Coach Watson.
Yeah, he's batting 200, and Daddy's home.
Hey, nobody. Okay. Jay, nobody asked for your help on this. Okay, the funniest 30 minutes in Nashville sports radio is about to happen. Underdog picks are next here on WNSR.